name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The owner of the vineyard is God Himself, and the vineyard is creation. And He gave it to people to care for it. But provision is always to be made for the owner. And when the owner sought his provision, they kept it for themselves. How often do we do the same thing? If you count yourself intelligent, if you count yourself well-educated, if you count yourself anything, what is it that you are enjoying except the opportunities that God has provided for you, or the manner in which you were created intrinsically? Everything that we possess, we have from God, yet so few people are willing to give their tithe, their provision, to give some of the fruit of the harvest. Not the entire harvest, just some, a tenth. You don't know how many people that I have talked to that tell me how tight their budget is and that they just can't afford to give anything. And they're confessing this. They come to me because, you know, I don't ask people for money. They come and they tell me this. And I said, well, when do you think you will have enough? There are so many stories that I could tell you about the poor in Egypt. And any of the people that have ever confessed to me that they just didn't have enough money in their budget to give a tenth, they could maybe give 5%, 5%, but not 10%. 10% is way too much. It's unreasonable. They are what? They're thieves. They're thieves. They're stealing from God. And so, consider the story of the vine dressers and those husbandmen. The owner of the vineyard sent three. Now, in the parable, we understand it as God at no time has left His creation alone. He has always been conciliatory. And He has sent prophet after prophet after prophet. And what is it we hear again in the Holy Scripture? Which of the prophets have your fathers not killed? Some they sawed in two with a wooden saw. A wooden saw. If you ever saw the movie The 49 Ronin, One is so upbraided by the fact that when a man was going to commit seppuku, ritual suicide, they gave him a bamboo knife just to make it that much more painful, that much more difficult. They didn't get him a regular sword. So it's then written again, drink up from the cup. See, what did the Lord want to give us? He wanted to give us the cup of righteousness, which we partake of this day at the end and the conclusion of our service. He wanted this cup to be, from His very essence, but they had no respect. They had no respect. There are so many of us that are like that today. When you look around the world, and read on with me. So the vine dressers beat all of the servants and sent them away empty-handed. Then God the Father said, "I will send my Son. Surely they will respect Him." You know the story. You know the respect that was accorded him. Let's drop now down to the last verse that we just prayed. What did the Jews at the conclusion of this parable surmise? That number one, it was about them. They were the ones that were stingy. They were the ones that thought that what they had been given was theirs by essence. It wasn't. It was theirs by grace. I have the same priesthood as the Lord Jesus Christ. He by essence, I by grace. And so do all men have it by grace, and grace alone. And what the Lord gives, he can take away in a moment. And no one should ever forget that. The things that we enjoy are evanescent and fleeting. They are not things upon which we base our lives. They are, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say, they are accidents. They are appurtenances. They are not foundational. We do not build upon that. So the Jews, they wanted to kill him. Now think about this. Why didn't they go ahead and just kill him? Because they were afraid of the people. Can you imagine that? They are afraid of the people. They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid to plot to kill God himself. Nietzsche undertook that, didn't he? God is dead. We have killed him. God is dead. And how many people do you know lead godless lives? That means a life that is led by personal volition, not simply because a person has a kind of respect for the things that the one who has given him everything possesses. But no, now since you have given me free will will overarch my every decision. And of course that will is for myself. And I don't have that much room, because my appetite for myself is so great. To give you a tenth? The Lord said he was going to come and to destroy those vine dressers. And the Jews said, no. In Scripture, certainly not. No. He wouldn't do that. Why? What did they think? His only begotten Son? See, Jesus reminded them of the Scripture. Look to what you yourselves admonish others for not understanding. And then, in your ignorance, try to find the truth of what I'm saying. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And this to you is a rock of offense. It's upon which everything is built. If you imagine two walls coming together, there is a cornerstone. There's a joining. Right? You have the intersection of the Old Testament and the New Testament with the incarnation of the Word, the living Word of God. And he is that cornerstone. He is what binds the 12 tribes with the 12 apostles. Everything is in one continuous skein, S-K-E-I-N. And it's not. It's not made weaker just because the Jews wished it to be so. We always talk about the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. But every once in a while, You have to look in the mirror and see if your nose is getting a little bit longer, a little bit more bent. See what kind of Jewish blood you have in you because of your behavior. Because we become the Jews when we imitate the Jews. We become them. Just as somebody said, you are what you eat. Well, you are what you represent as well. I'm reminded of a story about a man who had a lawnmower that he lent to his neighbor, and the neighbor hadn't given it back for such a long time. And finally, he came to get his lawnmower back, and the neighbor said, "Well, remember where you got it." He had forgotten. It wasn't his. It wasn't his. He'd had it for so long. You know, I've lived with this body of mine and this brain of mine, but it's really a chimera. It's not true. Everything is, you know, about the little tours, the little teeny tiny parts of atoms swirl around, little electrons going in their little circle. We are mostly air. These things buzzing around. We're not that much matter. If all of my matter were compressed, there wouldn't be very much of me. It's mostly space. If you look at anything moving, every one of those little orbiting electrons going around the nucleus of something, it's taking up space, a huge amount of space, if you look at it in proportion to its mass. It's like a bullet. When you fire a bullet, the projectile may be very, very small, but it takes up an amazing amount of space. Seemingly. I mean, if you have a clock that moves at an exceptionally high rate, then of course it only occupies the space that's required for its mass at any one point. But because time and the speed in which the bullet operates are so accelerated for us in our sensory apparatus to apprehend it, that if you're in the path of a bullet, you're shot. You can't move out of the way. And so I look like I have substance, and you look like you have substance, and the chair that you're sitting on looks like it has substance, but it's more space than it is substance. And the Lord is the one who has calculated exactly what needs to take place for all of the energy in the universe and all of the mass which is in the universe to coexist. And we forget, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's all we're going to be. That's all we're going to be. We will return. It's a state of slow decay called entropy. And we will slowly just return to what we were. And we will be then completely indistinct from all the other stuff that's around. Because we will just be made up of the stuff that the Lord pulled us from in the beginning when he formed the first man. We will return to the earth as earthly. But what is inside us, what he has made that is a special creation, our soul, this will go on. And we will receive a new body. But this time a celestial body, not a terrestrial body, as we are told in Corinthians. We will have a new body. I don't know how it will be made, but as you know, it does not obey the laws of physics as we understand them. We saw Jesus Christ enter into the room with the doors shut. How did he enter into the room with a body and the doors were shut. If it was a body unlike our bodies, then how were the disciples able to touch it? How did Thomas touch his body? He said, "Here, Thomas, look, put your hand, the imprint of the nails in my hands, and look where the spear has made a wound in my side." How did this body that could be touched come through a wall without an opening? How did that happen? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And we forget, whose are we? To whom do we belong? We don't belong to ourselves or this nation. We don't belong to anyone or anything more fully. At least we shouldn't. Than the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. We are of Him. We are, as Saint Cyril said, from the Father, by the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Very important prepositions. From, by, and in. From the Father, by the Son. That means without Him was not anything made that was made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. People postulate string theory. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Black holes, without Him was not anything made that was made. Dark matter, without Him was not anything made that was made. So what then is our purpose and our job? When the husbandman forgets that he's not the owner of the vineyard, I do not own this flesh, this brain, whatever it is that I possess. It is, as I said, a chimera. It's untrue. I don't possess anything. And neither do you. So why do we hold on that which is not ours in the first place, and which we cannot possibly possess in the second place? And we fail to give the little that we are asked. Whoever falls on that stone, the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be broken. And upon whomever the stone itself falls upon will be ground to powder. Let us remember, we are His. We are His. Life is in Him. Pray, give thanks, and worship the one who created us all. Glory be to His name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.